Careful on this snow. It is dangerous. Oh, yeah. I got to be so careful of this. Amen. I kind of get a kick out of this time of year. I appreciate our piano players because, I mean, honestly, what we're doing, it's amazing. Seka got to play for our Sunday school class, and she was here last year, I believe, for it. But it's funny. I mean, it really is funny how it all works. And I was thinking about Debbie and being so proud of her brother on TV. And she's so proud of him, but why did you turn it off? That's the concern we have. Or she switched the channel. But anyway, it's funny because I could hear her laughing back there on the first song. And you just never know. I mean, Bible school time it's such a fun time. But it's such a wonderful opportunity that we have with the shepherds and with the children, and just to be able to teach Bible truth in a simple, simple way. You know, Jesus did that all the time. He told stories. He gave parables. And he got criticized for that. He was criticized often by the scribes and the Pharisees and people. But Jesus wanted the common person to understand the truth of the Scripture. And I thank God for the opportunity and all the things that you have to deal with and put up with for Vacation Bible School. But it is wonderful. And we are having we're in the middle of a Christmas tree decorating contest. So tonight the judges will all meet and they'll vote on the trees, and millions and millions and millions of dollars will not be given away. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun, and we're just getting started. I'm excited about it. But take your Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. I was thinking, without a choir special, without a couple things that we normally do, we're just way ahead of time. So either I take the time or we get out early. Who knows what'll happen? I can tell you this. I know Craig is glad to be back there because it's probably 10 degrees cooler back there than it is up here, or maybe more. I'm not sure, but anyway, we get no fan because the banner is up. But isn't the banner beautiful? Yeah. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, Tim does such a good job with everything. Everybody does. Misty, the platform and everything, just all looks so nice, and just, you know, all the people that are involved, and your Christmas trees, they're very, very nice. And yeah, are you excited, Kayla?
Obviously.
Really? You like all this, don't you? Are you thinking Christmas right now? Well, think about what I'm preaching on, okay? Amen. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, and look what he says, I love it. And I saw heaven opened. I don't know, have you ever seen heaven open? Now I know he saw heaven open physically. He saw it happen. But I wonder how many Christian people, we sing the song, Heaven Came Down. What's that mean? What's that mean? We sing the song, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. You know, we sing that sometimes. What's that mean? I saw heaven open. And then he goes on, he said, behold, a white horse. Of course, this is a passage that I talked about in our Sunday school class maybe a year ago or so. But he said, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Talking about Jesus here, his eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us, amen, if you're saved. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll take this time now, make it profitable in our lives. If there's someone here today who does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they would come to Christ. Lord, I can't help but think that this could be the day that you would come in the clouds and take the Christians out of this world. What a great day that's going to be. But if not, Lord, I pray you'll challenge us from your word and help each of us wherever we sit, whatever our lives have going on right now, that you'll help us with your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about when heaven opens. When heaven opens. Again, John said, and I saw heaven opened. Now, again, physically, he saw heaven open up. I believe God opens heaven. And I know scripturally, God opens heaven at other times and things happen. But our theme for Vacation Bible School, the King is coming. And I can't help but think about this passage of scripture where it's talking here about the Lord Jesus when he comes as, the Bible says here, King of Kings. And Lord, hey, the King is coming, folks. He really is. And we celebrate Christmas and talk about how he came the first time and all the miracles that took place for him to come the first time. Hey, don't get lost in all the junk that the world talks about at Christmas. And certainly don't let the devil X Jesus out of Christmas, amen? Because he came, just like he said, he came. And you know what? He's coming again. This passage is about when he comes again. I believe that this is taking place 7 years after he came in the clouds, and that's the next event I believe that's going to take place. We call it the rapture of the church, or the rapture of saved people, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, and that'll take place, and then there will be 7 years of tribulation on this earth, a tribulation like this world has never seen, and it will end with the Battle of Armageddon. We just talked about that in our Sunday school class, and this battle starts with the Lord Jesus. Heaven opens, he comes riding through the sky on a white horse, and we're following him. And that's all those that are saved, and we follow him. We're the armies in verse 14 that are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. By the way, that's not because anything we did. It's all because of what he did that we can wear white and be fine and clean. Thank God for his cleansing power. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And so John said, I saw heaven open. And several times in Scripture, heaven opens. And I think that's why we sing those songs. The windows of heaven are open. We sing, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. You know, sometimes we just need heaven to open. Amen. Sometimes we just need God to do something. And so this morning I want to talk to you about when heaven opens. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 7. Here is one account of when heaven opens. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. Way back in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, Genesis 7 and verse 11. Here the Bible says, heaven opened, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. First time we see heaven open is a time of judgment. And it's a time we all know about as Noah's Ark, and the Bible is very clear about Noah's Ark, what took place. Go back to Genesis 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6 and verse 5, and it tells us why God sent this great flood to cover up the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 6, 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Folks, don't ever think God doesn't see what's going on. Don't ever get the idea that God is blind to what's going on in our world. God saw it in Noah's day. God sees it in our day. All the wickedness that is going on, not only in the United States of America, but all over the world, not only all over the world, but in your life. God sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. And the Bible says not only did he see the wickedness of man was great in the earth, but it says, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He not only could see it happening, but he knew thoughts of people's hearts. And not only did he know it of all the people in the world, but he knows it of what's in my heart, what's in your heart. And in that day, it was all evil. Sounds kind of like today. And it repented the Lord that he hath made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. What a sad verse. Might be one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. That God, the Bible says, it repented the Lord It made him want to change his mind. And it says, it grieved him. Where? At his heart. Oh, God wanted to fellowship with man. God wanted man to love him. God wanted man to walk with him and work with him and love him and serve him. And man had turned against God. Again, sounds kind of like our day. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for his amazing grace. Thank God that we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for God's amazing grace. And so he saw wickedness then. He sees wickedness now. He was grieved in his heart then. I believe he's grieved in his heart now. It repenteth me, he says. I wish I hadn't even made man. And yet, that was then, but I believe it could be even now. But there's grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. And there was grace then. God told Noah to build an ark. Amen. And God rescued Noah because he told him to build an ark and this big, huge, giant boat. I'll never forget Chad Dahlberg at one of our vacation Bible schools. We were teaching on Noah's ark, and he went out there. And remember when you put the cone up in the tree out here and put another one up on something out here and one over there and one over there? And he outlined how big the ark was. That was such a great, great illustration. It wasn't very safe, but it was great. Whoever climbed that tree, I don't remember who, did Noella do that? No. But all I remember is I was thinking, this is dangerous. But boy, what a great illustration of seeing how big that ark was. And so the giraffes went in, and the elephants went in, and the hippos went in, and Noah and his family all went in, and they were safe. Why? Because of the grace of God. And then God sent his only begotten Son. Amen. Jesus came to this earth, and he lived a perfect life. Never sinned. He was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. And Jesus came and lived on this earth and died on a cross to pay for our sins. And God's grace was provided again for mankind. Oh, God looked at man and said, man just doesn't want to obey. Man wants to do his own thing. And God said, but I'm going to show grace to mankind. And just as he did with the ark, he has done with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so we could be saved. Isn't it wonderful that no one has to go to hell? I'll be honest with you. You know, it's a tough thing when you see people living the kind of lives they live and how we know that it breaks God's heart. But what a wonderful thought that nobody has to go to hell. I don't like preaching about hell. I don't like talking about hell. I don't like the subject of hell. But it is wonderful to be able to say that nobody has to go there. But you will go there if you don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father. Today we have people, well, but what about this person who's sincere about? What about that person who believes different? What about, my Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. That's not Baptist. That's not United States of America. That is the Word of God. And God knows. God's the one that said it. Judgment was seen when heaven opened. Now again, not a wonderful thing, not a good thing, but remember that judgment was tempered with the grace of God. Nobody has to go to hell. We hear people curse God and call God this and call him that and curse his name, and yet, you know, God still has grace. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God. Thank God for his grace. Judgment. When heaven opens, heaven opened it for judgment in the book of Genesis. Here's another example, Matthew 3. Another time heaven opens, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Certainly there are verses we could look at, other passages. I've just chosen some here, Matthew 3 and verse 16. And you know the story here. Jesus is being baptized. And as an example that we should follow and be baptized, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, And lo, the heavens were opened. By the way, that's how I know he was immersed, because he went up straightway out of the water. Okay, you can't come out of a cup. Amen. So if we're sprinkling, if we're pouring, if we're using a watering can on him, that doesn't work, does it? He came up straightway out of the water. Amen. That's not real hard. And it's amazing how people mess that up. And lo, the heavens, there it is. The heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I simply wrote this down. Heaven opens when we please God. When we please God. Jesus pleased the Father here at his baptized. By the way, we please him when we get baptized too. Amen. When you get saved and you get baptized, I believe he's pleased. I remember when I got saved as a long-haired hippie. And again, you've heard most of those stories, but this was right after I got saved, and I was told by the preacher, "You need to get baptized." I said, "What's that mean?" And it was all kind of new to me. He said, "Well, we'll baptize somebody today." They did, and I watched somebody get baptized for the first time in my life. And I watched, and the one thing that really bothered me about all of that was the fellow that got baptized, his hair got wet. Now, that was back when I had hair, and I was very concerned about my hair getting wet. And Jesus says, you know, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed to identify with me. Don't be worried. Well, you know, I didn't understand all that. Oh, I'm so glad I got baptized. I remember the day that I got baptized. And, you know, the water doesn't cleanse anything. In fact, the water was probably kind of dirty. But I remember thinking, you know what? I'm no longer ashamed of Jesus. I'm so glad to identify with Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if my hair is wet. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I want people to know that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Good example and a good illustration we use often is the wearing of a wedding ring. You know, I'm very proud to wear my wedding ring. Amen. I'm so glad that I can not only get it off, well, it's getting tough, but I can keep it on. Amen. And I'm so proud that I wear this ring. And I'll ask somebody, "Why do I wear this ring?" And they'll say, "Well, you want people to know that you're married." Why do you get baptized? You want people to know that you're saved. That's why you get baptized. Amen. A police officer wears a uniform. A military man wears a uniform. We want people to know who we are. And Jesus, when he was baptized, my Bible says, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." When we please the Lord, I believe heaven opens. And certainly it did there. That is the first step in the Christian's life, is to get baptized. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You ought to get baptized. Why are you ashamed of Jesus? Why are you afraid to get baptized? Again, I am so glad that I was baptized. But Jesus later on said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, "For I do always those things that please him." Now, I believe heaven opens. I believe that God the Father was pleased with Jesus. And I believe that there were many times heaven opened because he was so pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I wonder if the Lord's pleased with me. You know, is he pleased with what you're doing? Is he pleased with your life? Are you doing those things that please him? Have you been baptized? How's your life? You know, here the Holy Spirit descended on Christ. Heaven opened, the Holy Spirit descended. We know that happens when we get saved. But how about the control of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you yielded? Are you yielding your life to the Lord? When he speaks to your heart, do you move? Do you do what he says to do? That pleases the Father. Jesus made it clear, not my will, thine be done. Not what I want. Boy, we live in a day where it's all about us, right? I want. Or we'll be real pious and we'll say, I need. It's amazing how many, "I need a new Cadillac." Oh, really? It's amazing how people get around on bicycles. But I need. No, listen to me. It should be all about, what do you want, God? What do you want from me, God? Pleasing God. Heaven open when the Lord Jesus pleased the Father. The third thing that I find heaven opening for is in Malachi 3, verse 10. You said, "I knew that was coming." Well, I can't help it. It's in the Bible. Malachi 3, verse 10. The Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I think the third time, and I call this the third time that heaven opens, is when we obey. Obedience, obeying God. And here it's a matter of obeying God with our tithes and our offerings. You say, oh man, that's a tough one. No, it's not a tough one. It's a time when God says he'll open the windows of heaven. God says, I'll open up heaven for you. And he said, when I open up heaven, I'm going to pour something out. And he said, I've got blessings. And he said, there's blessings that there shall not be room enough to receive. I don't know how much room you have. But he says, you won't have room when you tithe and you give your offerings. That's just obeying God. God, you know, he wants to bless us. Have you ever really realized how much God wants to bless us? The question is, do we want him to bless us? Why aren't we willing to do what he says then? In fact, he says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. That's where we rob God. The word rob there is not talking about sneaking up and stealing from him. It's talking about holding a gun to him and saying, I am taking what is yours. Let me have it. When you don't tithe and you don't give your offerings, you are robbing God. Somebody say amen. I feel like I'm in a, I'm not going to say. But tithe, one-tenth is his. If you have a dollar, a dime is his. Okay, you just added 5 minutes to the message. And it's hot up here, okay? I'm trying to help you, Tim. Amen. Thank you. Look, again, it's not difficult. You know, we have third graders that understand a tenth. Amen. We have young people that they can understand. Okay, a tithe, the tithe, the Bible says, is the Lord's. It's his. Okay, so when if I have $100, let's get it closer to where we ought to be. You say, oh, a dime, that's not bad. That's what I put in the plate. Anyway, if I have $100, $10 is his. It's his. It's not mine, it's his. You say, I gave. No, if you tithe, you didn't give anything. You put what is his in the plate. Five more minutes. That is his. It is not mine. Okay? If I made $500, now we're getting closer, see? If I made $500, that means $50 is his. It is not mine. You know, well, I'm going to control my tithe. It is not yours to control. It is his. It's the same as if it were sent to his bank. It's his. Okay? If it were sent to his bank and you said, oh, no, I want that, then you're robbing him. You say, well, it's on my check. That's why you immediately transfer it into his account. That's the storehouse. That's the church. Oh, isn't Christmas fun? It's all about giving. But you haven't given yet when you tithe. You haven't even started giving when you tithe. That's his. Then the 90%, that's what I give out of. Amen? Boy. I thought it's tough this morning. I wonder what's going to happen tonight. So again, all I'm saying is, what's the result? By the way, you say, preacher, you ought not talk about those kind of things. Well, I don't know about you. I like the heaven to open. I want those blessings. See, you're missing out on blessing. I often wonder about the Christians that they talk about, you know, Christianity, it's just not so hot. It's not so good. I just wonder, are you not tithing? I'm guessing that. You're robbing God. Yet every now and then you throw him a token $5 bill or something. Come on, folks. I mean, seriously, God has so much for us. He wants to give blessings. He wants to open the window of heaven and pour out those blessings on us. Every good gift and every perfect gift. I'm not talking green socks. what Grandma always used to get me, always green socks. I never understood as a teenager why she would get me green. Anyway, every perfect, every good, every perfect gift comes from where? Above. Where's above? That's when the heavens open. It comes from above. Every good, every perfect gift comes from above. Why would we want the windows closed? Well, I'm going to hold on to my $50. And you're going to miss out on his hundreds. Why would we do that? All right, it's quiet. Heaven opens. And the Bible says he'll pour you out a blessing. I'm so glad that that word is in there, you. What's that mean? That's a personal blessing. Pour you out a blessing. Isn't that good? That's you. What do you need? What do you need? What is it that you want? A blessing. A blessing isn't just what we need. It's not only that, it's what we want. It's fun. It's exciting. It's happy. It's God doing something. He already knows what you really need. He already knows what you really want. He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows what's going to thrill your gizzard, even though we don't have gizzards. But he knows. He knows what it is. You know, honestly, do you ever struggle? I remember the year it was Christmas time, and the kids and I, we kind of forgot to shop for Mrs. Rogers. And we just didn't, you know, we just weren't really into it very much. And Mrs. Rogers, she likes to be surprised. And so we're in the store, and I think it was probably the night before Christmas. And all through the store, there we looked, and we could find no more. And finally, we came up, and I said, there's something. And we got her, we got her a potato chipper. You say, what? Well, it was a deal, amen? And honestly, I mean, you know, what in the world are we thinking? I don't know. To this day, that is one that we laugh about it, but I feel really bad. It was, and it is the one gift, I think, in all our years of marriage, she took back. Now listen to me. You know, listen to me. God isn't going to get you a potato chipper. God is going to give you something that in your heart, it's exactly what you need. It is exactly what you want. It is exactly what's going to thrill you. It's like when the kids, that's what I always wanted. Well, they've been telling you for the last month it's what they wanted. Oh, God knows. God knows. He knows exactly. Why would we, you know, the plate gets passed, and I'm not getting on. I can't believe our offerings are what they are. Honestly, I'm thrilled. But I just don't understand how Christians would dare to, okay, close the windows. I have enough. I don't get it. I don't get it. Heaven opens when we obey him. I was reading 2 Kings chapter 7. There's a famine in Samaria, because the people sinned, and God allowed the city to be surrounded by the enemy, and there was no food, and they're selling donkey heads and dove's dung. I mean, that's what people are eating. Can you imagine? You know, oh, that's great. We get to eat the donkey head today, and tomorrow's dove's dung. And people are starving. People are dying. It's terrible, absolutely terrible. And Elisha, the man of God, told the king, he said, tomorrow there's going to be plenty of food. Well, there was an assistant to the king called a lord. He was leaning on the king, and he heard those words. He heard the man of God say, tomorrow there will be plenty of food. And he kind of mockingly said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Let me tell you something, folks. God does have windows in heaven. And all he was doing, I mean, he was kind of mocking, but in reality, he's saying this is going to have to come from heaven. It is going to have to be a miracle. Only God can do miracles. I'm telling you, he does miracles. Don't you? Wouldn't you love to not have to pay the doctor this month? Wouldn't you love to not have to pay the car repairman this month? Wouldn't you love to not have to pay the Maytag repairman? Oh, no, he never gets called, right? He's bored. Wouldn't you love to not have all the problems and all the expenses that come with the problems? Wouldn't you love to just say, God, I trust you and I believe you and I'm going to give like you said. I'm going to obey you and let him just open the windows of heaven. When heaven opens. Number four, here's another time. Look at Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Heaven opens when there's judgment. Genesis, we saw that with Noah's Ark. And the heavens opened and it rained on the earth. Heaven opens, number two, when we please God, Jesus, at his baptism, heaven opened. Number three, heaven opens when we obey God, tithes and offerings. Number four, Ezekiel 1:1, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. If you don't know much about Ezekiel, the one thing, and Ezekiel is one of the toughest books in the Bible to just read. It just reads difficult, but you pick up on many things that happen. And in reality, I don't think any prophet ever went through the things that Ezekiel went through. It amazes me when I read it. When we went to Bible college to be preachers, if we were required to read the book of Ezekiel and say, now this is what you may have to do, we probably would all change God's call in our life. It is unbelievable what Ezekiel went through. But some of the things that he went through that are very, very human to you and I, it just amazes me. But it starts off with God opening heaven for Ezekiel. And I think I know why. Because Ezekiel was called to preach to the people about sin while the people were in bondage because of sin. And Ezekiel, I mean, I don't know of anything more difficult than preaching to a bunch of people, you're a bunch of sinners, while they're paying for their sin. And it's a tough crowd. And many, many times in Ezekiel, we realize that Ezekiel is a very difficult thing as he preaches while he himself is in bondage. And the people hissed and spit on him and cursed him. But Ezekiel had one place of refuge. Are you listening to me? Ezekiel could always go home. And when he went home, he could go home to a wife that loved him, and he could go home to a little child and entertain his little child. But one night, Ezekiel went home, and his little child died. And my Bible says that Ezekiel went back out the next day, and he preached to that same crowd, tears streaming down his cheeks as he preached the word of God, and he obeyed God and he did what God said. But a man that was suffering because his child had died, and he didn't understand why, but he preached. And I'm sure that he still went home and his wife could fix him a meal and comfort him and encourage him. But then one night he went home and his wife died. And I don't even understand. I don't understand all that Ezekiel went through. I can't even imagine as a preacher the things that Ezekiel went to. But the only place of refuge that Ezekiel could go to, all of a sudden now, it's an empty place. There's no child. There's no wife. My Bible says after his wife died, the next day, he went back out on the street corner and he preached to those people that cursed him and spit on him and hissed at him. And I'm telling you, folks, heaven opens when you're suffering. I know heaven has opened many times when I'm suffering. I think about the time that my assistant pastor was killed in a car wreck out in front of our church. And I remember preaching the funeral. I remember laying on my office floor for hours in tears. Sometimes I'd weep until I fell asleep, and then I'd wake up and weep some more because I didn't understand. And I remember preaching his funeral and then going to the cemetery and standing there, and all of a sudden the crowd was gone and I was standing there alone. But there were arms around me, and I believe heaven opened And the Holy Spirit of God came and he put his arms around me and he gave the comfort that only he can give, the blessed peace that only he can give. Those of you who have needed that comfort know exactly what I'm talking about. And heaven opens and God comes and comforts us when he needs to. What are you suffering from today? Maybe you have a doctor's appointment you're afraid of. Maybe there's some trial in your life. Maybe a family trial of some kind. Maybe it's a financial problem of some kind. I just think of old Ezekiel there. And I go back to Ezekiel 1:1 and I think, wow, God opened heaven for him because he knew he was going to suffer. And he knew a night was going to come and he would have preached and he's going to walk in his house and there's no meal on the stove. There's no baby laughing. There's no wife to comfort him. And God said, I'll open up heaven. I'll be your comfort, Ezekiel. I can't wait to meet Ezekiel. Because here's a man that suffered, but heaven opened for him. I promise you this, when you suffer as a Christian, only God can provide a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful comfort for his people. Number five, heaven opens, I believe, at times of persecution. Revelation 4 and verse 1. And we already talked about John and how God opened heaven for him to see Jesus coming in the future. But in Revelation 4 and verse 1, we think about John, and it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And I believe with all my heart that heaven opens when we're persecuted. John is on Patmos. It is possible, again, we cannot prove this, but some history says that John was boiled in oil before he was put on the Isle of Patmos, and all of this because he was a Christian, because he worshiped God, because he preached the word, and literally he was put on the Isle of Patmos to die. No church, no fellowship, no people to encourage him, no wife, no children. There he is alone as a result of persecution in his life. And the Bible records that he looked and there was a door in heaven and he saw it open. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, folks. And the words, come up hither. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think about one of these days, the rapture is going to take place. And that's exactly how it's going to happen right there. And it may be a time when it is much, much worse than it is today. Don't know. Don't know what the time is going to be like for you and I. I just know that the Lord, I don't care how bad the persecution is. I don't care how nasty people are to you. I don't care. I believe heaven opens. And God, in his own way, he can give us the peace for taking a stand for him. That's why I'm going to keep standing. The devil and his crowd hate God. There's more hatred today than I think I've ever seen. I'm not saying it's worse than it's ever been in the world. I'm just saying that in my day, it's worse than it's ever been. I've never seen so much hatred of God and his people. I hear the news. I hear the attack on Christians. I think about Christians that were lined up along the seashore and their heads were cut off. And I think, oh God, would I stand? And then I wonder about you, our dear people here. You say, oh, preacher, that's a long way off. Is it really? Is it really? But I can tell you this, if it is or if it is not, we have a God in heaven who can open a door. He can say, come up hither, or he can come down. And he can strengthen us as his martyrs. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the martyrs, as they stood in the Colosseum about to be torn to pieces by wild animals or burned on a pile of wood, as they stood and they sang the songs of Jesus Christ, and as they stood for Jesus Christ, I believe with all my heart, heaven will open and he'll give us the strength to stand and do what we need to do because he opens the door. It's just a matter of time. A matter of time. Maybe you're under attack at work. Maybe you're under attack by your family. Maybe at school, some of you. Maybe going through a tough time, you're under attack. Let him open heaven's door and just keep taking your stand for the cause of Christ. What's happened is so many just say, okay, fine. I'll just compromise. I'll not say anything. I'll leave it alone. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to stand. God will open heaven's door to take care of us. Number six, and I'm just about done. I believe heaven opens here. Acts 7, verse 56. Well, this is one of the most blessed passages of Scripture, and I love it, especially thinking about our day. I just made reference. Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. Deacon Stephen, I love him. Acts 7, verse 56. He's preaching to a bunch of heathen. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That, of course, ends up being Paul. But Stephen said, "I see heavens open," as the people are about to kill him. He said, "I see Jesus there, heaven open," just before he died. "And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I believe in dying grace. I've never had it before. You say, really? Why? Because I've never died. Amen. You know, I used to be scared to death of flying until I really grasped dying grace. I remember when I was afraid to fly. I remember the first time. By the way, when you're flying, you think you're cooped up inside that little square right there. When you're on a plane at 39,000 feet, there's nowhere to go. "Well, I'll just go back to the restroom." Okay. You're still at 39,000 feet. You know, but I used to be scared to death, honestly, to fly. And the first time, those first times, I mean, I would tell my wife, "Honey, let me hold your hand." That's because I was terrified. You know, she said, "Oh, that's so sweet." Yeah. But I remember flying the first time we hit a bump, you know. There is nothing up here we can bump into. Why are we hitting a bump? And I remember being terrified. And I'll never forget the peace that God gave when he made it so clear. Well, that's proof you're not going to die. Because I believe God gives you peace when you die. I believe heaven opens and there is this thing called dying grace. And you know, I've been with so many now all these years when they've died. And I believe with all my, I'm seeing people that are looking at something, someone, just like Stephen here. You know, he saw heaven open, and he saw Jesus. Boy, how many times I've watched folks open their eyes right before they pass, and they're looking. And sometimes with a big smile, you know. Oh, I believe heaven opens at death for the Christian. Maybe you're not saved. You should be afraid to die. I would never want you to feel really good about dying unless you're saved. Amen. I believe heaven opens at death. And of course, our text, the last thing, number seven, is the second coming of Christ. "I saw heaven open," John said, "Jesus on a white horse coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Again, it's 7 years after he comes in the clouds and we're raptured. You know, it's 7 years later, but he comes. He comes, and he comes to this earth, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Battle of Armageddon, as we studied in Revelation, it really isn't much of a battle. I often wonder why we're even there. You know, we just ride the white horses down. Amen. Yeah, yeah. He does everything. He just speaks, and it's over. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let man say what they may. Let the world say what it may. Heaven's opening, and he's coming again. Heaven opens at judgment. Heaven opens when we please God. Heaven opens when we obey God. Heaven opens when we suffer. Heaven opens when we're persecuted. Heaven opens at death. Heaven will open at the second coming of Christ. What a day that will be. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.